Yes, it's that time of the week and I'm joined by the wonderful Dennis Stewart. Hello.
How are you, my dear?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to have you back again.
Very nice
now,
to see you.
Dennis, you want to talk about functional foods again.
Yes.
And you define them as therapeutic benefits as well as nutritional benefits
yes.
that they have. Today you want to discuss the benefits of olive oil and, if we have time, garlic. How would you categorise these foods?
Well, I would categorise these foods as saying definitely they would fit into the category of foods that have an effect on long life. And I would see them as key remedies that characterise particularly that diet which in recent times has become known as the Mediterranean diet. I put it to the audience that there would be few foods that could compete with olive oil and garlic as representatives of that diet now which is sweeping the world as a diet that we should all aspire to and take on board to experience some of the benefits particularly of these foods that characterise it. That's how I see them. Leaders in the Mediterranean diet push and leaders in the argument that certain foods can genuinely be seen to promote the potential for an improved longer life. How about that?
That sounds good to
Pretty
me.
Good?
Sounds
good.
Good, yeah. Did you bring some recipes with you?
Oh, I thought you could smell the garlic.
Well, we'll continue talking about that shortly. We've got Michelle from Nelson Bay on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You've got an intolerance to garlic.
I do. I get heart palpitations, an upset stomach.
Oh, dear.
The bowel doesn't like it very much.
Oh, dear. Is that eating it in what particular form, Michelle?
Well, I find it usually, you know, when you cook or when it's put in salads, that sort of thing. And,
okay.
Look, you know, who doesn't want to live longer? So is there something that I can eat instead?
Look, garlic and onions are two very much related foods. They come from the same family. And they have been traditionally the explanation, so historians of medicine and health put to us, they have arguably been the indicators or the explanation as to why all great nations, all great armies, all great previous civilizations were great, so it is argued, because their dependence on onion and garlic. Now, you could say there are other reasons why that was so, but everything that I've read on those two foods points to the fact that they do have the potential to live up to their reputation, that is, their overall health benefits with reference to blood pressure, internal health, all those sorts of things which explain longevity and good health come from the benefits of these foods. Now, I agree that some people can find them intolerant, particularly in the form that they might use. Now, we were just talking about your problem before we went to air proper, and my colleague here mentioned something which I have noticed also, that using garlic in what's called an infused oil, that means garlic, if you like, and I'll be simple on it, garlic soaked, if you like, in something like olive oil, gives you what's called the infused oil of garlic, and that is very...
You get the flavour.
Yes, but it also carries with it some of the active principles in garlic, which are considered to explain its benefits, the health benefits. And I remember, as a younger practitioner, when I would import many of my own medications from Europe, I ordered what was called tincture garlic. At the end of the day, I received an order which was, in fact, the infused oil of garlic. And when I went to the supplier and said, look, you supplied the wrong thing, the supplier said, no, in Germany, this is the popular way in which garlic is used. This is what they refer to as tincture of garlic. And then I could see why, that it carries with it a lot of the benefits, overall benefits, but it seems to, in many people anyway, create better tolerance for it. And that would apply also...
So is it actually crushed?
Beg your pardon?
Into it and then you just drain the oil off it?
Look,
or is it a whole...
There are various ways. A simple infused oil of any herb, and remember garlic and onion, they're herbs essentially. An infused oil is simply crushing and then soaking the substance in a particular oil, preferably garlic if you're wanting to emulate the Mediterranean experience, and leaving it in a jar for a number of, well, number of weeks, and then straining off the liquid.
Okay.
That gives you the infused oil. Now, look, I'm quick to say, Michelle, that it may be that even in that form, you and other people find it intolerant. Some people, and many people, are intolerant to certain foods. We must accept that. But
yes,
to be fair, I think rather than write it off, you should look at a number of ways in which garlic and onion and similar herbs of that can be used, and bypassing, if you like, some of the taste and some of the upper gut problems. If you were to go down that pathway, do a trial run on it. I'd be surprised if that would bring about any significant ramifications, but you would only try a small amount. But if you can do that, that is an ideal way. The same sort of thing applies if you're making an infused oil of basil. And that's popularly used even in our restaurants. It's, if you like, a Mediterranean a preparation
oil.
Using, the infused oil of basil. That's the way I'd go.
Yeah, you can actually buy at the supermarket infused garlic infused oil, onion infused oil, etc. if you have an intolerance. And often, like I do that myself, and you just look for a little symbol. It's blue and it's got a little sort of squiggly arrow, and it's the FODMAP symbol. And that's good for people with intolerances to certain things like garlic.
Is there any difference between the black garlic and the normal garlic?
What my response to that would be that there are numerous varieties of garlic, but they all belong to the one family.
Oh, okay.
And therefore they would all share certain major chemical constituents. Some people talk about some being not as pungent, not as challenging. I think that's arguable. Garlic is garlic, botanically known as Allium sativa. They all share a common chemistry, albeit some may in fact have the actives in various proportions.
Okay, I'll give it a go. Thank you very much for that.
Okay, thank
good
you,
luck.
Michelle.
Have a good day.
You
bye.
Too.
Thank
you. Thanks. Bye. Next, we've got Gail from Harrington on the line. Hi, Gail. How can we help you?
Oh, good morning. It sounded like mosquitoes buzzing, and then it went away, but now it's like a wind whirring in my left ear.
Okay. Gail, have you had it investigated?
Yeah, I went to the doctors and he told me my ears were pretty clean, no wax or anything. Mm-hmm. It could be like a bit of hearing loss to have a hearing test. I've had hearing tests and nothing.
Okay.
They're fine.
How long have you been struggling with this?
Probably the last 5 weeks it's got really bad.
Okay. So it's not something you've experienced long term?
No, I haven't had it for a long time.
Look, a couple of simple little things that may be of benefit here. I know that your good doctor has determined that there's nothing serious behind this, but when I was a child, any problem pertaining to the ear was always initially treated with drops of warm olive oil.
Yes.
I would suggest that as a starting base. It's an old-fashioned remedy. It may address small amounts of debris that may be in the air canal. Outside of that, there are a number of herbs that are recommended in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia for what's called tinnitus, which is the technical name for what you've got. One of those is an American herb called Golden Seal. It's readily available. I would see that as a useful starting base. And in my practice, we always start any of these sorts of, how can you call them, problematical conditions that aren't related to any particular pathology. We always fall back on a broad spectrum potential benefit of a bioflavonoid called quercetin in combination with the pineapple enzyme called bromelain. So bromelain and quercetin is a good old standby for many of these weird conditions, particularly of the upper respiratory tract, the ear, nose and throat. It's inexpensive, very safe. But first of all, start, I would suggest you start with the old trick of a couple of drops of warm olive oil. Give that a chance to do its job. Then move on, say, to taking encapsulated preparations of golden seal, recommended in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia. And then, if that doesn't work, try some bromelain and quercetin in a capsule from your health food store or pharmacy. The other thing about it, though, Gail, is that in as much that this is just of recent onset, it may be one of those things that will run its own course and not develop into any great seriousness.
Okay. Yep, all right. I had some wood betony here and
yes.
I tried it,
yes.
but it didn't sort of do anything. I took it for about six days,
Wood betony is more associated with a fluid in the ear canal and a little bit of balance problem with it. It's a good start, by the way. Not many people know too much about wood betony, but it is a good starting herb for many conditions, but usually associated with a little bit of vertigo or off balance or a sense of being waterlogged.
Yes, well, I got it. You recommended it when I had vertigo there.
Yes.
I had it for quite a few months and I keep it all the time and take it. And I thought, well, it's got to do with like the head and stuff.
Yes.
And I thought,
yes.
Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So
good
I
girl.
Give it a try.
Yeah. Well, wood betony is always worthwhile working with, but I've always found it more appropriate for where there's a suspicion of what we used to call fluid in the ear and where there's a little bit of feeling waterlogged. That's the term that I use.
Yes. Yep. Okay. All right. Dennis, thank you. I'll give that a try. And
thank you, Gail. Yeah, see how you go. See how you go.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Gail. And we've got Chris from Tanambit on the line. Hi, Chris. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. I was diagnosed a few years ago with CLL, which is a chronic lymphoma cancer. And not on any treatment, but just want to know if I could, something I could take to help with the just being tired.
Okay. Chris, I'll make one or two suggestions. You are not presently being medicated or on any medical...
No.
Okay.
No treatment at all, just 6 monthly visits with the oncologist and doctor.
Okay, good.
Very supportive.
Okay. Look, there are two things that I'd mention, and I think the right thing to do is, having mentioned these things to you, you should first of all go to the net and confirm what I have said, which I think you'll find is there. And secondly, you should run it past your medical managers. I think that's the ethical thing to do.
Sure. Yes.
A few weeks ago... I might have surprised listeners and fed material to my sceptics by suggesting that one of the most popular supplements or functional foods for dealing with fatigue or tiredness, particularly associated with a condition like yours, a chronic condition that brings about with it tiredness and fatigue, and certainly associated with many cases of different forms of cancer, particularly the end result or the ongoing effects of oncology. There can be a lot of fatigue, loss of appetite and things like that. Now, you might not be in that category, but certainly the fatigue would allow me to suggest that, first of all, if you haven't got the podcast from 2NUR, you should contact the station and get hold of that one where we dealt with beetroot. Beetroot is a food, so it's a functional food. It fits into the category of what we're talking about today. It is certainly a great nutritional food, but equally importantly, and perhaps this is not well known, it is popularly used around the world to address conditions associated with various cancers, not from the point of view of treating the cancer, but helping the patient who was battling the cancer, either as a result of management or during the management, where it seems to improve the vitality and help overcome some of the tiredness that can be associated with various cancers and the after effects of treatment. So I would suggest, because it's a food and readily available, I would suggest if you're going to go down this pathway and take it seriously to start with, get hold of some of the beetroot powder. It's easier to take. Now, I'm not in any way at all discouraging the use of the food. You can make beetroot juice if you want, but the use of the powder makes you able to take a larger amount of the food in a more convenient way. Say a couple of teaspoonfuls of beetroot powder is what we've been recommending to some of my clients, and the feedback up to this point has been encouraging. So that's something that I would recommend. Get onto the net and you will find some medical articles there. If you have difficulty getting hold of the major one, contact my rooms at U Lambton and we'll email them to you. But outside of that, a remedy that made its fame, I suggest it made its fame, during the height of the AIDS epidemic in the US, was a formula that emerged in the United States known as the Astragalus 8 formula. Now, Astragalus 8 was used particularly by the whole cohort of individuals that were suffering from HIV, some who were in the final stages, others that were being treated. It was found that the combination of 8 Chinese, Asian herbs in combination helped greatly in addressing some of the symptoms of this condition, including the tiredness. Now, I introduced the formula subsequently into Australia years ago and was able to demonstrate that it was very effective in helping people fight various sinister forms of disease and help in the management, even oncology management. Now, that might raise a few eyebrows, but listeners would be surprised as to how many people have used the Astragalus 8 proper formula to achieve benefits in their transit through their cancer experience. And I subsequently wrote a paper on the use of the Astragalus 8 formula to address a condition called chronic fatigue. And the results of prescribing that has been that many people who suffered fatigue as a result of a chronic condition were able to get on with their lives much easier than what they had done. So I would suggest two things: the beetroot powder and the use of the Astragalus 8 formula. You should mention that, particularly the Astragalus 8 formula, to your managers. I very rarely have medical people reacting to that because it is so well known.
Yeah, no, that's, I appreciate that. That's I did listen to the program when you mentioned the beetroot, which I've increased the intake of that as the actual vegetable, but hadn't considered the powder. So, yes, I'll talk to my doctor and
I think that's a good thing to do. And the powder is very inexpensive and, as I said, makes it very much more convenient, and you can take it in, I have some patients, 2 to 3 teaspoonfuls a day. It is a food. Whereas if you're taking the Astragalus 8 formula, it is, in my opinion, an alternative or a complementary medicine, and it needs to be used in its stipulated dosage.
Oh, lovely. Oh, well, thank you very much for the information. I very much appreciate it.
Pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks very much,
thank
Chris.
You.
Bye.
Thank you.
If you've got a question for Dennis, 49216216 is the number to call. Now, Dennis, you've been talking about olive oil. Mm. Are there good examples that contribute to good health and longevity?
Well, I think there are. And before I came on the program today, I was doing a bit of review work, particularly from that text that I've mentioned, the book entitled Food Pharmacy by Jean Carper, C-A-R-P-E-R, a book that I used years ago when I taught naturopathic nutrition to my students in a number of venues. What we know is that in the island of Crete, which is in the Mediterranean, if you like, a Greek island, if you want to refer to it as that, although strictly speaking it probably isn't, but it belongs to that group of countries, all of which, if you like, characterising the Mediterranean culture and food. Now, the Cretes go on record of being the greatest consumers of olive oil in the world. And someone has said that in Crete, and I'm quoting here, in Crete, the olive oil flows like wine. Now, what a wonderful combination, by the way. One could talk about that all day. Any wonder one lives in the Hunter Valley, where, by the way, they make some of the best olive oil in the world. I have to say that. But no, look, the evidence is there that populations that historically have used olive oil in large amounts, not, if you like, drinking it in the same way as wine, although Mediterranean culture is a favourite for that as well, and we can take that on board too. But where that is utilised in Mediterranean cultures, particularly the classic example being Crete, the longevity of people has been demonstrated to be outstanding, and their freedom from many diseases has been shown to be outstanding. Their blood profile, as with all, I suggest, countries like Greece and Italy, where they're living on traditional Mediterranean food, wine and olive oil, their blood profile has been shown to be exceptional. Now, what does that mean? It means that their cholesterol level tends to be good. It means the high-density lipoproteins, which are the so-called good cholesterol, is disproportionately higher to what the LDLs, the bad cholesterol, is, explaining why it's been argued that this contributes somewhat to their cardiovascular health, and that in turn contributes to their longer life, which makes them examples to the world generally of a group of people whose diet, basically bathed in olive oil, is considered to be an explanation as to the benefits of olive oil. But remember, it is not only the Mediterranean cultures. You have to remember that it's been around for a very long period of time, going back to the time of the Egyptians. One of the pharaohs, Ramses II, who ruled Egypt between 1300 and 1200 BC, he took olive oil for virtually every complaint. Now, that might say something or say nothing, but he lived a pretty good life. We also know, interestingly, I was reading, again, in Milan, for instance, a team of physicians give heart surgery patients 4 to 5 teaspoons or tablespoonfuls of olive oil per day as part of their regime, their therapeutic regime. That is a recommendation that subsequent to their procedure, they are discharged with a recommendation that they have 4 to 5 tablespoonfuls of olive oil, and within 6 months the patients are monitored or looked at, and it has been shown that their blood profile has decidedly improved, making them less susceptible to future heart attacks. Now, I'm not suggesting that this should be followed by everyone, but it is interesting that here you have a cohort of physicians in Italy who have used, according to Carpenter, who have used olive oil as a recommended food to be used on patients or clients that have sustained heart surgery. There's a bit to learn, both from history and from, if you like, European medicine. Anglo-medicine, I keep saying, has got a lot to catch up on, and yet we still look down the nose and people think you're mad when you talk about drinking olive oil, I love it, or where you say you drink wine and rather than scoff down just beer. We've got a lot to learn, haven't we? You'd agree with that.
I do. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I'm glad you do.
Although I don't know how I feel about just drinking olive oil. I think I'd probably like to have an infused version.
Look, I tell you what, if people were to take a serious amount of olive oil each day, my contention would be, A, that they would not have any constipation, because this is the thing that's frequently overlooked even in medicine.
Just slide out.
Oh, that was a nice way, a very nice way. That's very medical. But in Potter's Cyclopedia of Botanical Drugs, it's a yardstick of good herbal medicine, has been for a century or so. Olive oil is put forward there in a dose of about 30 mils as being useful for some levels of constipation. My argument is that if it is part of the diet regularly and taken deliberately, not just sprinkled on a bit of salad, but if it is taken deliberately, it can have great benefits on the health of the gut and the functioning of the bowel.
Wonderful. Well,
there you go.
I know what I'm having for dinner tonight.
Okay. I won't make a diagnosis.
This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM, and we have Ashley from Hamilton South on the line. Hi, Ashley. You want to talk about anxiety?
Yeah, especially over night time, I get a fair whack of anxiety, more so than often, and I'm quite sick of it. And I just don't know what to do anymore about it.
Ashley, are you taking any medication?
Yeah, I've got stuff for my illness, for my head and stuff. Like I'm taking a thing called sleep aid from my doctor at the moment.
How long have you been taking that?
About 4 months.
Is it helping?
Well, no.
Have you discussed that further with your GP?
Yeah, but we can't seem to come up with anything.
Okay, look, if that's not helping, all I can do is raise a few options that, again, you should mention to your doctor before you start taking them. They're herbs, and they're able to be purchased without script, but because you are being treated by a good doctor, it's right that you should mention three herbs. The first one is called hops, H-O-P-S, hops.
Yeah.
The second one is called valerian, V-A-L-E-R-I-A-N, not valium, valerian.
Right.
And the third one is called skullcap, S-C-U-L-L-C-A-P, skullcap.
Right.
Now, very frequently they can come in an encapsulated form in combination. They are very mild in their action. If you want to try something that might help, and I say might help, that is what I would consider to be a safe combination. But because you are taking other medication, I think it is proper that you run that past your GP.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Okay, Ashley, see how you go.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your call, Ashley. Good luck with that. Now, Dennis, you were talking about olive oil.
Yes.
What are the major benefits?
Oh, look, we could talk about it all day, and I'll be quickly. First of all, we've stated that it's good for the heart, full stop. Secondly, it reduces what's called the bad cholesterol, LDL. Thirdly, it raises the good cholesterol, known as HDL. And it has, if you like, a gentle, very gentle and progressive role to play in helping lower blood pressure. Again, helping lower blood pressure, not as a primary medication. They're the ones that are the most important. Thinning of the blood to a degree, but not as problematical as some other substances, dietary substances. But an area where it's not appreciated very much, it would be appreciated again by all those with a Mediterranean background, is that it has a remarkable benefit on the health and functioning of the gallbladder. In fact, herbalists that I trained under, who were my mentors, particularly the brilliant cohort of English, the older English herbalists, would use olive oil even in the treatment of what's called cholecystitis. Now, these days, admittedly, gallbladder is managed better perhaps as far as removal techniques are concerned, but I'm talking more about a preventative procedure using olive oil on a regular basis. In my experience, has explained why very rarely in my many years of practice have I seen people from Italy or Greece or Crete present with what you might call some of the common gallbladder problems that Anglo people present with. And that's because olive oil is what we call a cholagogue, technically that means. And it means something that promotes drainage or functioning of the gallbladder. And it lessens a congested gallbladder and helps, in fact, gallbladder to secrete its level of secretion that's required for good digestion. This might also play into why it's useful in some levels of constipation. So again, I would see a preventative measure as a means of resisting gallbladder episodes or gallbladder disease, and it is only my suggestion. This would be controverted clinically, but my experience and my recommendation would be to take on board the Mediterranean diet, take on board the activity of the Cretes, who drink it like wine, and then look forward, hopefully, to a life devoid of gallbladder spasm and gallbladder operation. We don't want that. So there are some areas where I see the regular, ongoing, daily use of this food being what the Mediterranean people do as a means of promoting health at multiple levels, cardiovascularly, gastrointestinally, and also perhaps contributing to the long life that some Mediterranean people experience.
What quantities are we talking about?
Oh, look, talking about a couple of tablespoonfuls max.
Per day?
Yeah, per day, yeah.
And so that helps not only the gallbladder, but that's going to help the bowel as well.
Well, I recommend to patients who experience that, I recommend a minimum level of 30 mils as medicine, scoffing it down, so to speak. Or what's the term they use? Sculling it? That's the term I think
have
they
a shot.
Use. Yeah, have a shot. Now, I'm not saying that will work for everyone. It might work a bit too much for some or not at all, but it's a food, a good food, and good for the gut.
Well, we've pretty much exhausted olive oil today. Thank you very much, Dennis.
Thank you, my dear.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will be having it tonight.
Well, we'd like to think so.
Yeah. Catch up with you next week. This is 2NURFM.